your Bible to Psalm 63.
I will eventually be reading Psalm 63. But I'm going to start out by reading this. Well, here I am, Lord. You said, take up your cross, and I'm here to do it. It's not easy, you know, this self-denial thing. I mean, I'm going to go through with it. Yes, sir. Lord, I'll bet you wish more people were willing to be disciples like me. I've counted the cost and surrendered my life. It's not an easy road. You mind if I look over these crosses? I'd like a new one. I'm not fussy, you understand, but a disciple has to be relevant these days. I was wondering, are there any that are vinyl padded? I'm thinking of attracting others, you see, and if I could show them a comfortable cross, I am sure I could win a lot more. Got to keep up with the population explosion and all. I need something durable so I can treasure it always. Oh, is there one that's sort of flat so it would fit under my coat so one should not be too obvious? Funny, there doesn't seem much choice here. Just that coarse, rough wood. I mean, that would hurt. Don't you have something more distinctive, Lord? I can tell you right now, none of my friends are going to be impressed with this shoddy workmanship. They'll think I'm a nut or something, and my family would be mortified. What's that? It's either one of these or forget the whole thing. But Lord, I want to be your disciple. I mean, just being with you, that is all that counts, but life has to have a balance too. But you don't understand? Nobody lives that way today. Who is going to be attracted by this self-denial bit? I mean, I want to, but let's not overdo it. Start getting radical like this and they'll have me off to the funny farm. Know what I mean, Lord? I mean, being a disciple is challenging and exciting, and I want to do it, but let's see. No blood, okay? I just can't stand the thought of that. Lord? Lord? Now, where do you suppose he went?
That's
yeah. People are willing to bear the cross if it can be a padded one.
Yes, sir.
And one that's not too offensive. I'm going to start tonight some messages having to do with the value of hard times, of what has been referred to already as a wilderness experience. If you're open to Psalm 63, I'm going to read these 11 verses. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My right hand upholdeth me. thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. This is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. Hence my subtitle to the value of hard times, the wilderness experience. Verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. It's not good to go through a difficult time, to go through a hard time and wait till the end of it, or wait till the middle when you realize, ooh, this is going to be a rough time, and then I better find God. Okay? No. David said, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. That's what a wilderness experience. That's what a hard time seems like. Where no water is. Thirst cannot be denied when it exists. And listen, we're talking about thirst, all right? And we're likening it now to a hard time, a difficult time, and being thirsty for God. This is not like I've been out mowing. Oh man, I'm thirsty. Where's that glass of water I brought out here? Okay, no, it's not that kind of thirst. This is the kind of thirst where there is no water to be had. And it's no good to just tell somebody who has this kind of thirst from a dry wilderness experience to just be patient, just wait. No, when somebody has this kind of thirst, they must find God. What can substitute for liquid, especially water? You want a jelly bean? How about a hot dog? No. When you're thirsty, what you want is water. A hard time, a wilderness experience should develop a thirst for the real water of life. But too many times as Christians, we go through hard times and we tough it out. And we realize, well, others have difficult times. I'll just have to, you know, buck up and make the best of it. No, no, a hard time, a wilderness experience should develop a thirst for the real water of life. Let's look at some scriptures. Psalm 42, we're going to look at three different ones here in Psalms. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. Brother Richard Cook sang a song Sunday morning that referred to this verse. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? The heart is a deer-like animal, and when it's running, as you see such deer and other species of what I'm going to call the deer family, I know that's not, you know, technically accurate, but when you see them run, as you see them run, they're thirsty, and they need, okay, the water of the brooks. And that's how our thirst should be. Have you ever watched a National Geographic and they'll get a leopard or a tiger or some fast cat on the tail of an animal. Usually, again, it may be a gazelle. It may be, again, a deer-like animal. And that animal is running and cutting, and so is the cat that's behind it. Let me tell you, if it gets away, okay, if it gets away, it's thirsty. It will have expended so much. And so it is when we go through some of the experiences of life. They may be financial, they may be marital, they may be parental, involving something with a parent, child, okay? It may be in a work kind of situation. When we go through those kind of hard times, we should indeed, "So panteth my soul after thee, O God." Psalm 84. Psalm 84 and verse 2. "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Is that our longing for God? My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. I am fearful that too much of my relationship with the Lord cannot be described by that kind of a thing. Oh, I'm doing good compared to, okay. I'm not what I used to be,
yes, sir.
But I'm not where I could be. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. There's no doubt about it. I've got a good testimony where I work. My neighbors, they think fine of me as far as being one of them religious people. But my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Is my goal merely to look good in the eyes of others? I certainly don't want to look bad in their eyes. But my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. We're going to look at verse 6. "I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. I stretch forth my hands unto thee." Well, now we don't want to get, you know, carried away. After all, you know, the charismatics, they're always lifting their hands. They're always stretching their hands out. And, well, we're not like that. I'm not, where did that come from? Okay? What put that kind of thought in our minds? The kind of thought that we're concerned about what other people think of us. That's where that sort of thing comes from. But I'm still reading the Bible in Psalm 143 in verse 6 when it says, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee." Surely there have been times when you have been blessed in that sort. Maybe in your prayer time. Maybe when you're reading the scriptures. Perhaps a biography of someone. It's not uncommon that you're listening to some of the old hymns or some of the stable gospel songs and you get blessed? Have you not lifted up your hands in prayer to the Lord? David did. I stretch forth my... Well, that was David. You see, he's a Jew, and that's back in a different time. That's an excuse.
Yes, sir.
That's what that is.
Amen.
I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Why? What prompted the stretching forth of hands? And it's and the reason it's significant is because it's indicative of what's coming. My soul thirsteth after thee. As a thirsty land. Just, I cut off some of the plants in our flower bed that needed, you know, to be gotten ready for the winter. And while I'm back there working, that soil is dry. It's cracked. I mean, this wide, what is that, a quarter inch or more? Soil is cracked. And I thought, well, there's something. And I look around and know it's several places. Do I have that kind of thirst for God? As a thirsty land? As a land that is parched and needing water? David had that kind of experience with God. Well, yeah, but David, he went through some, you know, he had some pretty rough times. He made some really dumb choices. Yes, he did. Have you not done the same?
That's right.
They may not have been the dumb choices David made.
That's right.
But they are our own dumb choices.
Yes, sir.
And it can cause us to be in the same condition David was. Verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. We read an earlier psalm in which David said, in the night watches, he seeks God. I'm blessed in that when I go to bed, I generally, within 5 minutes, fall asleep. There are some nights that I don't, that I'll sort of toss and turn, and I'm just sort of in between, not asleep, not awake. Sometimes I'll get up, go out to the recliner chair, and for some reason, boom, then I can go out. But most of the time, I just go to bed and go to sleep. And Pat doesn't have that blessing. We all know that she many times lays awake at night, and she looks over at me and she hears me sleeping, you know, excuse me, snoring. And so she does. But in the morning, I slept. While she laid awake, she talked to God.
Amen.
Okay. And then she'll say, I had a good time with the Lord. I would have liked to have slept, but I had a good time with the Lord. Wouldn't it be better to have a good time with the Lord? To get that water that's so freely given than to get the sleep? I guess. Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and in the 55th chapter, Isaiah says in chapter 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. There's a gospel song to that effect. Okay, I'll bless you and not sing it. Okay. But Yeah, come to the waters. That's what God wants us to do. In Matthew, in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, where we have the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. What is the thirst for? Righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Here again, we live in a very satisfied Christian era. As Christians, too frequently, we're satisfied with where we are. Not dissatisfied about not being where we should be or could be, but satisfied. I mean, I don't drink alcohol. I don't do dope. I don't watch porn or anything that would get close to it. I don't cuss and swear. I don't do anything that a Christian shouldn't do. What about what a Christian should do? Huh? You see, so too often we evaluate our level of godliness by what we don't do.
Oh, that's good, brother.
But we need also evaluate our level of godliness by what we do.
Amen.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Come to the waters, ye that are thirsty in spirit. There's some times where it's not good to be satisfied. You say, well, doesn't the Bible say you're supposed to be content? Yeah, content in God, but not content in self. Not self-satisfied. The hard time of a wilderness experience is to take away anything that could try to satisfy. That's why God lets us go through hard times. Because he wants to take away anything else that we would use to try to satisfy ourselves. And that doesn't have to only be bad things, wrong things. That can even be good things, okay things. But God wants us to seek him and him alone, and anything else that we use to satisfy ourselves other than him, God wants to take that away. This might sound heretical. Might he want to take away your church attendance? If you're using that to satisfy yourself rather than him, then even a good thing, you see, is taking his place.
Yes, sir. Come on.
I didn't have that in the notes. That just came out of my own beady little brain. It drives us. A hard time, a wilderness experience, drives us to depend on God to provide for us. To depend on God to provide for us. Now listen, that means to provide our food, our clothing, our house, our car insurance, our heat. We're coming up on the heating season. We're going to depend on God to provide. But that isn't all that he wants to provide. He wants to provide satisfaction. He wants to provide contentment. He wants to provide for us righteousness, kindness, patience. Oh boy, probably 90, 95% of us need to work on the patience thing, huh? Yeah. Yeah. I'm in that 90%. And hard time is to drive us to depend on God. We're going to look at one other passage here, and then we're going to close with that for tonight. We're turning in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 17. Now, somewhere along these messages, I'm going to be looking at Hagar and Ishmael. We know they had a wilderness experience, okay? All right. But right now, Exodus 17, I want to read the first seven verses. Exodus 17. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" They were chiding with Moses, but he identified that chiding as tempting the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's read on.
Yeah.
And the people thirsted there for water. Now, that's a legitimate thirst. Okay, so we got to watch that even in legitimate things, we don't get into areas that we shouldn't be.
Yes, sir.
And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. You never, never, never read in the Bible where murmuring is okay.
That's right. Come on, boy.
Yes, never, sir. Never. Today we'd say whining, complaining. You might say, "Well, I don't murmur." No, but I'll bet you whine some. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt?" You brought us out of Egypt. You made all 600,000 of us get ready in the middle of the night, no leaven or anything, pack everything up, and you made us follow you. Yeah, right. No, they were part and parcel of that whole decision to leave Egypt. And so just about the time we're in a hard time or a wilderness experience, and we're about ready to blame someone else, be it spouse, boss at work, teacher at school, neighbor, just about that time, we need to remember Exodus 17. And so Moses said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us," or the people said, "brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel." God frequently uses a chain of command Okay?
That's right.
All right? And the Lord said, Moses, go on before the people, take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod. And he specifies which rod. Wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. In other words, the one that you use to part the waters, take that one and go. Behold, I will stand before thee. Ha ha. There's the secret. God is standing before. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock. This was a time he was supposed to smite. There was another time he got in trouble because he thought he could replicate this command. But you get a fresh instruction from God. You might learn from past instructions, but you get a fresh instruction when you're in a hard time and a difficult place. That's hard for us to remember. Because we think once we've gone through something, now we know we got it. Mm-hmm. One of the traits of the hain is when you've learned A, B, hey, I got it. I know the rest of the alphabet. Okay? And too many times as Christians, we'll do that. We'll think because we went through something and we knew how to go through it, now we know how to handle that sort of thing all the time. God has different purposes. Therefore, we might need a different instruction. All right, still at verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? And so the Lord just showed he was among them. And he showed it through his man Moses, you see. Now, listen, when we're in hard times, we've got to get hold of the Lord. It's important that we get hold of the Lord. And if we have to lose some sleep in order to do it, that's okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, even if you're like me, that you can fall asleep and snore all night long, okay? Maybe we just need to not go to bed. We've got to get hold of the Lord. Because the Lord's the one who'll have the answer regarding our hard time and our wilderness experience. Well, now, we're going to continue on next time. We have the rock of our salvation, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to continue on with Psalm 63 and what he has to say there. All right? We want to thank everybody who has been with us on the live streaming.